Amen. And it is, it's like he says, well, you know, it's an outpatient, typically, and very simple. And but with Jean, nothing is necessarily simple. And certainly we need to pray for her and pray this goes well. And that it should be a great blessing, should be a real help to her. So praise the Lord for that. Well, in Romans 6 and verse 11, a familiar passage of Scripture says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Now, you ought to mark in your Bible. By the way, don't be afraid to mark in your Bible. You're not going to put that thing in a museum someday and just hope that it's preserved. We need to read it, use it, mark it up, and that way you can use it. But you ought to notice here where God says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. It means that it's possible that you can do that. In other words, if God says do this or God says don't do this, we can or we can avoid it, all right? So if he says not to do something, we can. We can not do it. And so keep that in mind and mark that in your Bible. It says, then neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Okay, if he says to do it, that means we can do it, right? Okay, if we couldn't do it, he wouldn't tell us to do it. Very important. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin, here it goes again, for sin shall not have dominion over you. So he said, let not sin therefore reign, and the word reign there is as a ruler. Let not sin therefore reign, he says in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Now if he says it's not going to have dominion over you, it is possible. I mean, we sometimes become convinced that, I'm just a sinner and I'm just going to sin. Well, he says there is a choice here. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Verse 15, what then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Notice what he says, God forbid. Let not means that it's possible. I want to talk to you tonight about who rules your life. And Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching. Thank you for the good music. Thank you for everything that's gone on tonight, all the practices and the prayer times. And God, thank you for 18 men in the men's prayer time. What a blessing that was. What an encouragement. And now we pray that you'll bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who rules your life? And I know, immediately, I've got control of this. Or a lot of times folks say, well, I've given God control of my life. And but I often hear people talk about this very thing right here. And they'll say, well, I ask God to take away my desire to sin. That's an easy way out. Okay, if God would just take away all of our desires to sin, why not just say, God, make me a robot? Right? You say, well, that'd make it a lot easier. Well, I understand that, but he really wants us to choose to do right. Okay? So sometimes somebody will say, well, I pray about this all the time. I pray about my sin all the time. I pray about doing right all the time. I constantly am praying about doing right. And then I will ask the question, well, are you doing right? No, God's let me down. No, let me tell you something. God's not the one letting you down. Somebody will say, I've asked God to take charge of my life so that I do right. Okay, but somewhere along the line, you're going to have to take charge so you do right. Now, follow me on this thing, all right? Because I'm convinced there are a lot of people that, I've just given it to God. Okay, it's good and we need to give things to God, but you and I still have to choose to do right. Okay, it's one thing. Well, I surrendered my life to God. Let me ask you this. Was it your life to surrender? Do you yourself, are you ruling your life? Do you have control of your life as far as you're just doing right? Are you? Because I'll be honest with you, before you can give God your life, you're going to have control in order to give it to him. I hear people all the time, well, I asked the Lord to help me quit smoking, and then you went out and bought a pack of cigarettes. Now, somewhere along the line, there's going to have to be some doing right. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have to decide who is ruling your life. Are you going to have control, or are you just going to let the sin nature that is within you just take over? Look right over at Romans 7. And just a tremendous passage of Scripture, and I use it often in my own life, and I certainly feel this way, and I know everybody here feels this way at one time or another. Verse 15, and I just want you to notice something that really jumped out at me as I was studying this. It says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will," notice what he says, "for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." He says, here's what, I want to do right. But he very clearly said, I don't always do it. In fact, often I don't do it. Verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." I read all that, and I'm not going to go on because that's not the message. But if you'll notice in those verses, "I do" and "do I" is everywhere. And what you ought to do is you ought to circle the word "do" all those times, because really, ultimately, it is about what you and I do and what we choose to do or not to do. In Romans 6, he says, hey, don't let sin reign in your body. It's there. Just don't let it rule you. You get control. You take control. You take charge. You decide. And there's going to have to be some of that before you can say, okay, God, I've got some control here. I give it all to you now. God, I not only want to quit smoking, but I'm not going to go buy a pack of cigarettes. I not only want to quit drinking, God, but I'm not going to go out and get a six-pack and put it in my refrigerator. There's got to be some doing, because the doing is where the problem is. And Paul said he had the same problem. You know, I want to do right, but I do wrong. I don't want to do wrong, but I do it. And over and over and over again. And the whole thing is, who rules your life? There's got to be, you know, Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians, and we'll go there. He calls it bringing yourself into subjection. You know, somewhere along the line, we've got to, it's just like you brought yourself to church tonight. Okay, there were many things and many, many pulls to keep you from it, but you brought yourself, you chose to come to church tonight. It's like you chose to write out a check and tithe and do right. But you had to make a decision, you had to decide to do that, and you had to physically do that, and you chose to do right. Oh, hundreds of people choose not to. I'm talking about Christian people. Many, many, there's folks sitting right here, chose not to do that tonight. There's folks from our church, chose not to come to church tonight. You see, it's bringing you into subjection. Who is going to be in charge? Will it be the sin nature, or will it be the spiritual nature of your life? Who rules your life? Look, keep your place here, but go to Proverbs 16. Just real quick, I want to give you two verses. Proverbs 16, we've been in studying the people of Proverbs, and I keep running into these verses, and they're just so good. Proverbs 16:32, and we have used this verse, actually. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty." Look what it says, though. "And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." What's it? He that ruleth his spirit, what's that mean? He has control of his spirit. The Bible says he's better off if he controls his spirit than a guy that went out here and conquered a city. Well, do you know the toughest battles you fight are battles within, not the battles without. And if you can conquer, if you can win that battle of your spirit and rule your spirit. Rule that, keep that old flesh down. You know, if you can do that, by the way, that's why the Bible says not to make provision for the flesh. That's why we can't make provision. That's like the guy that's, you know, I'm trying to quit smoking, but I got a pack just in case hidden. Deal with it all the time. You know, well, I'm trying to quit looking at pornography, but I got a couple of magazines hidden under the mattress just in case. You know, you're making a provision to lose. You're making provision because you're saying, I really don't have control. Go on to Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule, here it is again. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. In other words, just whatever feels good, I do it. Whatever my flesh says, that's what I do. Hey, somewhere along the line, you're gonna have to say enough. As Paul calls it in the book of 1 Corinthians, you've got to say to your body, I'm in charge. You've got to say to your mind, I'm in control here. You've got to tell your body that, hey, listen, you work for me, and I'm dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've got to stop just giving in to that flesh. See, God wants us to choose Him. God could have made us robots, but He didn't. He wants us to choose right. I'm thinking of folks right now. You know, they'll I prayed and I asked God to take that desire away from me. I prayed and asked God not to let me do these things. And but then they turn around and put themselves right in the place where they're going to do that thing. You know, it's like a young person. Well, you know, I asked God to take the love of rock music out of me, and then they went to a rock concert. God wants you to choose Him. God wants you to do. Not just to will, but to do. Not just to want to, but to do. You've got to make a conscious effort to take control of your life and then give God your life. Paul, you know, I like what he said, and we'll go back to it in a few minutes. But basically, Paul said, you know, he said, I'm not going to let my flesh rule me. I'm going to take charge. I'm going to decide that I'm going to do right. Back to Romans and chapter 6, and notice verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey. His servants ye are to whom ye obey. You know, before you say yes to God, you're going to have to say no to sin. The difference between somebody going off to college and passing and failing is whether you have control. And really the question is, who rules your life? Because I got news for you, if your flesh rules your life, you're not going to make it. You're going to sleep when they're having class. Either there or back in your dorm. You're going to be late all the time to class. I mean, really, who rules your life? Because when you know, it'll be the difference between making it in a job and maybe getting promoted, or just kind of barely existing and going from job to job. Because again, somewhere along the line, you've got to start doing what's right. Many folks want to do something with their life, but they never will because they haven't got rule over their life. They don't have rule over the simplest things. But I gave my life to God. But really, technically, it wasn't yours to give because you've never gotten control of it. Folks with talent so often fail because they just don't have the character to do what's right. They don't have the character to go on. They hope their talent will get them through. The truth of the matter is, there's got to be a whole lot of right doing and saying no to wrong in order to make it. Especially doing something for the Lord. If you want to do right, you've got to become the ruler. And you got to tell your flesh no. I'll tell you, it gets us in trouble every time. That flesh. And we've got to stop letting it reign control our bodies. You know, you ever talk to somebody and kind of think, boy, they sure are carnal. That's because the flesh is ruling and the spirit is not. Listen, we've got to learn how to do it. And I just want to go through a couple things here real quick. First of all, this involves what you say. Your spirit, the spiritual part of you and I, it needs to rule what we say. So many people mess up because of what they say. James chapter 1, verse 26, look at it. James 1, 26. James chapter 1, verse 26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. Well, I love that little phrase right there. Bridleth not his tongue. What's it? If God says we can bridle our tongue, then I guess we can, right? And what is that? That is a choice. I mean, you put a bridle on a horse and it helps the horse. Well, it is how you can direct the horse and turn the horse, make the horse go, make the horse stop. God says you need to put a bridle on your tongue so you can control that thing, because if you don't control it, you're in trouble. But again, that is a choice that we have to make, a bridle on the tongue. You know, this was something that was kind of easy for me because of how when I got saved, before I got saved, I cussed and swore so much, and then God saved me and God called me to preach, and I had to speak to teenagers, Christian school teenagers, and I had to speak to them, and constantly I was begging God, please God, please. Don't let me say these. But you know what? It was more than that. It was a conscious effort to watch what I said. It was a conscious. Now, I believe God did a miraculous work, but I believe God did the miraculous work in my life because I knew consciously this was wrong. I knew that the words that I used to say would not work, certainly as a preacher. I knew they weren't going to work. I knew they weren't pleasing to God. And literally, as a new Christian, I had to put a bridle on my tongue. I had to learn how to control it. I had to learn what to say. Now, that was in reference to my old language and wickedness. You have to learn as a Christian, not only that. In fact, many don't even grow up. But for example, somebody who says, well, I just tell it like it is. You know, you might want to put a bridle on that thing. Well, I'll tell you what, I just say whatever I think. Well, we know what's in your heart, because we've heard what you say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, that's why we need to put a bridle on our... What do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about who rules your life. Okay, get control. Rule your tongue. Now, the Bible says the tongue can no man tame. You can't, but you can put a bridle on it, you can work on it, and then God has to do the work. And I believe that's exactly what happened in my life. You say, well, I don't mean to gossip. What do you mean you don't mean to gossip? that's an impossible statement. That is a false statement. You can't, because you put yourself in gossip situations. Hello? Okay, if we're going to take control here, if we're going to rule our life and therefore give it back, give it over to God, we're going to have to get ourselves out of situations. You know, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Well, you say, preacher, you don't understand. I mean, everybody I hang around with is gossip. Then you have to change who you hang around with. But you have to make the choice. You can't just say, oh, they're such a sweet person. They're such a nice person. I like them. And they're my friend and all this. Nobody's a friend if they're dragging you down into the carnal world. If they're stroking your flesh, worldly, wicked nature to get you to say wicked things. You say, well, I don't like to say angry things. I just say what's on my mind. But what's on your mind is something you need to control, so it doesn't come out of your tongue. How many people get hurt because of a tongue that's unbridled? How many lives are destroyed because somebody says something unkind? Somebody said, well, I can't help it. I'm opinionated. You can help it. You can help keeping your opinion to yourself at times. Sometimes your opinion doesn't matter. Sometimes you need to stop and think before you speak. Many, many verses about that. Bible says in Proverbs 29:11, says, a fool uttereth all his mind. And I know folks, you know, it's like, well, I just have to say this. Sometimes it's better just not to say anything. Sometimes it's better, and again, the whole idea is, who's the ruler? Okay? You know, here's what's sad is so many times, you know, well, I've given my life to God, and I'm a Christian, and I go to church, and I tithe, and I read my Bible, and I pray, but your tongue is as carnal as any wicked person out there. You're not cussing, but you're ripping to shreds God's people. You're tearing apart someone who's backslidden. We're supposed to restore them. You're turning away lost people, and we're supposed to reach them. Why just tell it like it is? Sometimes it's better off to say, you know what? I'm going to rule this thing. Amen. I'm going to rule my tongue, and I'm going to tell my tongue I'm the boss here, and you will stay quiet. You know, the dangerous thing is when you don't even realize it. We see this in our Christian schools sometimes, and it breaks my heart. I mean, one kid will just start in, maybe get with a couple others, and just start in on another one. You know, and just tearing them to shreds and just ripping them apart. Talk. And pretty soon, I've got a student who's totally defeated. Totally torn down. Just because of one person's rotten tongue. Now, is that person normally just a real bad person? Well, a lot of times, no, but their tongue's all flesh. And I know the tongue is flesh, but I mean it's carnal. It's just carnal. People who, you know, again, I think of so many folks that, well, but I, you know, I've given my life to God, but you've never controlled your own tongue. You've never gotten your own tongue under control. And so, how would God ever use you if you don't get your own tongue under control? We need to rule what we say. We need to take charge over what we say. We need to control what we say. People that gripe all the time, you need to get control. Do you know what a terrible testimony that is? Whenever somebody gripes about our school, for example, a student, they're griping about school, immediately, I think about all the people that have sacrificed to provide them a school. But it goes beyond that. It goes to God, because it's His school. When we gripe about our church or gripe about, you know, something to do with the church, you know, immediately it's like, God, you messed up. I mean, what was the first gripe? God, you gave me this woman. Look what she did. Kind of reminds me of the seagulls down in Florida. And we always like to throw crackers and stuff at them and everything. But I kind of like to watch them. And I remember one time, my wife and I, we were watching the seagulls, and they're amazing how they'll screech. You know, you get one, they'll get all mad and rah, rah, you know, and they'll screech and screech and screech and screech at each other. And I remember I don't remember where we were. I'm thinking it was Mackinac Island, one of the motels up there, something like that. We were watching the seagulls, and this one seagull was screeching at all the other seagulls, and I'd throw a cracker and it'd go rah, you know, and the whole time it's screeching. Guess what? Its mouth isn't doing. It's not getting any crackers. And you know, I think about screechy Christians. No wonder you're hungry. No wonder you don't get anything out of church. You're always screeching. You're not going to get any crackers if you screech all the time. Amen. Who rules your life? Who rules what you say? Time to take a little survey and find out who rules what you say. Do things just blurt out? Do you find yourself saying, man, I wish I hadn't said that? Because if you do, it's time to get control over what you say. Number two, it's time to get control over what you do. Who rules what you do? You know, back when I was younger, and many of you will remember this, you know, the old saying, the devil made me do it. We laugh now. When I got saved, I thought, hey, that's a pretty good cop-out. The devil made me do it. Yeah, you know. I got news for you. The devil didn't make you do anything. You chose to do it. You know, we're making conscious choices. Okay. Oh, you know, the devil made me eat that extra plate of food. No, he didn't. He didn't make you do that. You chose to do that. Yeah, you don't like where this is headed, do you? You know, the devil made me smoke a cigarette. No, he didn't make you. You chose to do it. Well, I'm hooked on it. Get unhooked. Who? Okay, so you're telling me that a little rolled hunk of tobacco is going to rule your life? You say, well, it's easy for you. No, it was smart for me that I never started. I understand that it's very difficult, but I'm just saying, you know, every morning that little thing in you know, rolled tobacco says, smoke me, and you bow down. You have to choose who's going to rule your life. And it's that sin nature that drew you to it in the first place, and it keeps drawing you to it. Right? Well, the devil may... No, the devil, you have chosen. And the truth of the matter is, it rules your life. It keeps you from doing a lot of things for God. Smoking, drinking, cussing, whatever it is. You say, well, you know, I asked the Lord to help me not to watch wicked videos, and then you go out and rent them. And I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. I asked the Lord to help me not to watch bad things, and then you go to the movies. I asked the Lord, you know, to help me not to look at pornography, and then you went out and bought you a couple magazines. It's a choice we make. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, he said, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Who rules you? What rules you? What is it that you need to get control over? You need to get the power over? You need to stop it from reigning in your life? Okay, it's there. All right, it became part of your life. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If coffee rules your life, you need to get rid of it. If anything rules your... If anything, you say, I've got to do this, then you know, it's time for you to reevaluate things. And because Paul, like he said, I will not be brought under the power of any. I like to tell this story. I used to be a Mountain Dew-aholic. And I mean, always I had my Mountain Dew. I had a deacon that had his Pepsi, and I had my Mountain Dew, and I mean, we would just see who could drink the most during the day. And then I got where, if I didn't drink one, I got a severe headache. And I finally said, that's it. And I quit drinking it. Because I'm not going to be controlled by a can of pop. See, some of you know, it's like, yeah, but preacher, that's not the same. No, who rules in your life? Who rules? Who rules in your life? As far as, you know what's sad? And I promise you it's going to happen tomorrow morning. Because Berean Baptist Academy is not in school anymore. And so, oh my, how many people are going to sleep till 10 o'clock? And there's no reason for it. And there's no reason for it, because there's plenty to do. Well, I'm gonna get a job someday. Well, no, you have a 2-week head start. But you know, seriously, many will, you'll waste that away because you just don't have the character to do. Oh, you'll get on your knees and say, "Oh, God, give me a job." And then tomorrow, 10 o'clock, you'll be just waking up. Well, it's too late to go look now. I guess I'll go back and take a nap. Yeah, I know. But see again, who rules? Well, I'm tired. You know, most of the adults here, and especially those that have worked at a job and done their job and they're faithful at their job and everything, you know, it's called you work when you're tired. And you keep doing whatever you have to do when you're tired. Can you imagine if you're tired and you just, well, I'm tired, go to sleep. I've stood up to preach sometimes and been very tired. That'd be funny, wouldn't it? All right, folks, take your Bibles, turn to Romans 6. Hold on just a minute. Well, I was tired. It's called, who rules in your life? Okay, who rules? You know, I just can't make it. I just can't do it. No, you just won't do it. You just don't choose to do it. You could do it if you chose to do it. You'd be amazed what you can do. Who rules what you do? Why are you late all the time? That's something you ought to look at. Well, you know, it's just boring. It's part of me. Yeah, I know, and it's a bad part. Let me give you a verse. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. How many folks do you suppose are sick of you being late all the time? Boy, the air just went right out of the room. How many people does it hurt when you're late? What kind of a message does it send when you're late? So here's this couple, and you know they really like each other a lot, and so they have a date, and every time they have a date, the guy's late. Girl says, why are you always late? Well, I just got things to do. I'm just busy. I got a lot going on, you know. Well, after a while, she's going to think, I guess I'm not worth it. Yeah, that's not going over too hot. Let's move on to another one. You don't understand. I live 25 miles away. Have you ever thought of leaving sooner? It has nothing to do with where you live. I know people live real close, and they're late all the time. It could be work. It could be school. It could be church. It could be anywhere. It doesn't matter. It's because you do not have control. You are letting your flesh rule. You want an extra 5 minutes. I hate that little thing on the alarm clock. What's that called? Snooze, yeah. I hate it with a passion. Never have used it. I just have to have 5 more minutes. I can tell this is not going well at all. You know, I kid around with our guys about shaving. I got, you know, when you get in Bible college, you better shave, boy. I forgot. How do you forget? That's like, I forgot to breathe. Now I'm getting off on tangents. But it's the same stuff. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, it really is the same. Who rules you? Okay? Now, again, if you're going to grow a beard, that's different. But if you're going to be a shaven, shave. Don't look like something that we found underneath a rock. You know, some of you are in a constant state of, I'm growing a beard. Scary, isn't it? But you know, all of this is, it's all who rules. Because our tendency is to be lazy. I preached on the sloth and being the sluggard and all. That is our tendency. You know, we're like a hinge on a door. You know, we time to get up, and we roll over and go back to sleep. That is our tendency. It takes control. It takes okay, I'm getting up. It takes you have got to learn to rule that. Got to do it. You have to set a time to pray. Then set a time to pray. Otherwise, you may not pray. You have to set a time to read your Bible. Then set a time to read your Bible. People aren't a success because they're lucky. People aren't a success because they're fortunate. They're a success because they choose to take control of their life. And then I'll just throw this out because it's under what we do. But when you say you're going to do it, nothing outside of something, an act of God, nothing should keep you from doing it.
Right.
When you say you're going to do it.
Amen.
Well, I will be there. You can count on me. And then it never gets done. We need to find out who rules. Who rules your what you say? Who rules what you do? And the last thing, and this is so crucial, who rules what you think? Oh, preacher, I can't help it. I put this stuff in before I got saved. Okay, well, you can control that. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, verse 13, and you can write it down, to gird up the loins of your mind. To gird up is to like a man would have a leather belt, and he would have a long robe on, and he's getting ready to work or to run or to fight or something like that, and so that would not bunch around his legs. He would literally tuck that in. He would gird that up with that belt that he's wearing, so that he's prepared to do what he's supposed to do. And literally, we need to do that with our minds. We need to prepare our mind to do whatever we're supposed to do. Sometimes that means it's a constant effort. As things come to mind that are wrong things, and everybody in this room has that. It's not sometimes I'll have someone that seems shocked, like, I can't believe that thought came to my mind. Everybody has thoughts that come to their mind. And they're not good thoughts. Especially if you our mind is greater than any computer man has ever built. And if you program junk into your mind, it's there. I mean, we have a memory that is unbelievable. We have storage there that goes all the way back to when we were children. And there's garbage in there. We've put garbage in there. And so we've got to decide. Well, what do you do when a bad thought comes to mind? I quit thinking about it. What do you do when a rock song comes to mind? I quit thinking about it, and I think about a good song. I replace it as soon as I can. Well, I can't help it. No, you like it. Just like I like it. But it's wrong. And I say, I'm going to rule this thing. You have to do it. It is a battle. It is something you have to do. We have to do. We have to gird up the loins of our mind. We have to prepare for battle. We have to fight the battle. What do? First of all, quit feeding your mind with wrong stuff. The more you load in it, the harder it's going to be to get it out of there. Magazines, movies, music, all that kind of stuff that is wrong, the bad things, quit putting it in your mind. Constantly I'll have folks, well, I just can't get this stuff out of my mind. Well, what'd you do about it? Well, I went and bought me a magazine. Well, I rented me a movie. You got to quit feeding it. I'm not, I'll be honest, and anybody in this room would be the same thing. If all of a sudden we put up on the screen what's in our minds, I think probably the service we'd all leave. Well, one by one, we're going to just start right over here, and Brother Kelvin will be first, and Brother Kelvin will say, well, I got to go. It's everybody, nobody's going to come up here, put on the mind thing, and let everybody see what's in their mind. Nobody. Do not pretend like, well, bless God, I've been a godly Christian all my life. Yeah, there's garbage in your mind. that is so far back. You know, we read in the Bible, they went through that hole in the wall. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Hawkins? And went in there and looked, and all that wicked stuff was in there. What is that? That's your mind. And everybody in this room, you can be pious all you want. I got news for you. If we had the mind reader and we were going to show it on the screen, you'd be out of here real fast. What about you, preacher? I'd be the first one gone. I'd just say, well, everybody, you're going to go first. I'll go last. And when you're all gone, then we can do mine. You'll get it later. Thank you, Kayla. Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so if we keep feeding it carnality and we keep feeding the carnal, eventually that's going to show up in what we say and what we do. Quit feeding it garbage. Control what's there. Number two, control what's there. Again, my past and the things that were in my mind, there are, and every now and then something will pop up from, good night, how old am I? Things will pop up from 40 years ago. Where in the world was that? It's all stored in there. Yeah, you know, well, the devil, fine, the devil brought it up, whatever. I put it in, but he's you know, putting a shining light right on it. What are you going to do? You have to say, hey, I'm the ruler here. Get out. And you start concentrating on something else. Huh? You've got to control what's there. You know what's sad? There's folks in this room, you can't even look at a woman without having wicked thoughts because you have no control over it. It's sad. And there's girls here. Your mind is out of control. And it's time you put a stop to it. Oh, you know, I can think of anything. Nobody knows. God knows, and it's ruining you. Number one, quit feeding your mind garbage. Number two, control what's there. Number three, feed your mind the Bible. I'm telling you, you've got to have ammunition to go against that stuff that is there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And it's called ruling your mind. Ruling your mind. Nobody has to be a pervert. You can be a decent person, but you better get control of your mind. Well, I gave that all to the Lord. And then you went and rented some videos. Yeah, I know. I know all about it. You're going to have to make some decisions and make right choices yourself. Well, but it's a permissive society. There's a lot of wickedness. Girls just don't dress right. Yeah, I know a lot of the ones here don't. What'd Joseph do? Fled. Potiphar's wife wasn't actually a godly Christian young lady. She was seducing him to commit adultery. What did he do? He took off. Amen. That's what you have to do in your mind. That's what you have to do with these eyes. That's what you have to do with your ears. That's what you have to do with your feet. You have to get away from those things that are going to ruin your mind. Daniel in Babylon, you know, he had it pretty tough. But the Bible says he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Now look, again, it's a matter of who is going to rule. The Bible says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. And so, if I'm going to stop it from raining, that means I'm going to have to take charge. That means I'm going to have to take control of me. And folks, before you're going to be able to give God control of your life, you're playing games if you yourself aren't doing something. Well, Lord, I bought these cigarettes, make them vanish. That's like, Lord, I'm going to step in front of this train and let it stop. Please don't try that. It'll be real messy. You know, let's just be honest about the things in our life. We play so many games. I think about this because I've counseled people that well, you know, I asked God to... No, listen, you are asking God to do what you're not willing to do. Now, you do what you are supposed to do, and I guarantee God will do what He's supposed to do. Now, you have got to make the decision to take charge and rule. Who rules you? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.